John 8, beginning in verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said to him, "Say we not well that you are a Samaritan and have a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeks and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." Then said the Jews unto him, "Now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And you say, if a man keep my saying, he will never taste of death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I will be a liar like you. I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." Then said the Jews to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, this is perhaps one of the greatest truths in all of Scripture. Father, a truth that, even as Wesley mentioned this morning, is beyond our capacity to understand. Your word says that no man understands the things of the Spirit, but the Spirit of God, and we just ask that your Spirit would open our eyes and give us understanding. Strengthen your believers, Father, strengthen your sheep that they might do the hard things that you've called us to do. Make goats into sheep this morning, Father, through the power of your Spirit. And Father, may your Spirit come in power and scatter the wolves. Speak, Lord, for we are listening. It's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. In our discussion here, we're still continuing in John 8 and finishing it, and we'll move, Lord willing, next week to the man that was born blind. But in this discussion, it's kind of interesting. It all begins with him wanting to stone a woman that was caught in adultery, and it ends with him wanting to stone Jesus. It begins there, and Jesus obviously forgave the woman. But in his forgiving of the woman, accused and condemned the men who wanted to have her stoned. And there's been this interaction taking place between them going back and forth. And as we've seen, it's not really a debate because they ignore everything Jesus says. And we've seen how lost people don't care what God has to say. They just ignore it. There is no debate. There is no discussion. But as with people who are losing arguments, they now result into what is called a logical fallacy of ad hominem. And that is, they attack the man. You can't defeat a man's arguments. You just make fun of him and call him names. And maybe somehow that will make you right. So they call Jesus a Samaritan. Now this is important because Jesus has just told them that them being born Jews does not make them right with God. They have to be born again. So their response to this is, well, you just believe that because you're not fully Jew. And you have to believe that. Because if you are fully Jew, you would understand that you were born right with God. But Jesus isn't a Samaritan. But even if you are fully Jew, because he appeared to be, you are demon-possessed. You are crazy. You're so crazy you come from the pits of hell. You are demon-possessed. Jesus here responds to these accusations and name-callings in verse 49 by saying, "I have not a devil." He says, "I'm not demon-possessed." Notice what he says, "But I honor my Father." Why does a man continuously engage these people? Why would you continuously talk to a brick wall? Why would you talk to hard-hearted men who hate you. Why would Jesus keep doing this? Well, Jesus here at the very beginning is showing that it's not for his own praise. He exists for one reason, and that is the glory of God. Everything we do is to be for God's glory. Jesus' interaction with the hard-hearted Pharisees is for one reason, and that is the glory of God. Jesus is not going to answer their charges of being demon-possessed to boost himself up and show how great he is. He's only answering them for the glory of God. And that's where he brings this accusation back to them, but you do dishonor me. What is their problem with Jesus? We looked last week, it wasn't with him lying. They couldn't point out one error in what he said. It wasn't because he was sinning against them, because he said, "Have I sinned against you?" And they can't point out any sin in his life. They cannot point out an error in his teaching. They cannot point out any sin. He is ironclad, no faults, no flaws, no fallacies. He's there, so they have to reject him for some reason. They reject him because he comes from God and is living for God's glory. You see, their reason for rejecting Jesus is not that he's not saying something true, logical, correct. It's not for some sin in his life. It's because they do not live for God's glory. Which, by the way, you will see in our society today. People don't have debates on truth. They just reject it outright because they don't want to live for God's glory. And Jesus is showing them how warped and twisted they've become. They hate him, not because he killed their child. They hate him because he lives for God's glory. He continues. Verse 50, I do not seek my own glory. He's not living for his glory. He says, there is one that seeks and judges. At the end of the day, Jesus is only concerned with one man's opinion. And that is the opinion of God the Father. What an example he sets for us. Who cares what people think? I remember somebody one time in my front yard telling me, if you do that, no one will ever come to your church. I don't care. If God says, well done, then I did well. If people don't like the way I raise my kids, who cares? All that matters is what God says. That is the way Jesus lived. He did not live for the praise of men. In fact, when Jesus is done talking, they hate him so much they want to kill him. He's not a people pleaser. He's not a man seeking to garnish a reputation. He's not seeking a big following. He's not seeking power, fame, fortune, pleasure. He lives for one purpose, and that is God's glory. And he does not care what anyone else thinks. Why is he continuing this debate? For God's glory. That is it. Notice what he says next. Not only is the one that seeks and judges, but there's an idea that he's putting here before them that brings us into verse 51, and that is, there is one that's going to judge all men. So why is he saying these things in verse 51? I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he will never see death. What has Jesus been implying the whole time? From the very beginning with the woman caught in adultery, why was it that they left? Why was it they fled? Why did they hide? Because they realized that Jesus was going to condemn to death all lawbreakers, and he wanted the law of God carried out in full. And they were scared that he actually might mean that and might actually stone the woman first and stone them next. That's why they ran from him. Jesus is now saying, by the way, Mr. Only God can judge you, he is going to judge you. I'm sure you've seen the bumper stickers. Only God can judge me. Yes, and that should terrify you. Because God will judge you. He will judge every idle word. He will judge everything you've said and everything you've done. You will be judged. So why is Jesus continuing to speak? For God's glory and man's good. You'd almost think that the two greatest commandments were love God and love your neighbor. Why is Jesus speaking? For God's glory. And that these sinners might escape the wrath of God if they will listen to him. But they won't. Instead of listening to him, what do they do in verse 52? The Jews said to him, now we know you have a devil. We know you're demon-possessed. Abraham's dead, the prophets, and you say, if a man keep my saying, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? They're getting pretty close. That's what he just said, is he's greater than Abraham. Okay, even a blind hog finds an acorn. They're accusing him of saying, you're greater than Abraham. And he's like, yeah, I am. Notice what they say next. The prophets are dead. You greater than the prophets? Yeah. That's what Jesus is saying, is he's greater than the prophets. Who are you making yourself out to be? Who do you say that you are? Verse 54, Jesus again, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. By the way, this would be very good for Americans to understand. Just because you think something of yourself does not make it so. Okay? Just because a politician says he's good looking doesn't mean he's good looking. Just because someone says they're honest doesn't mean they're honest. Just because someone says they're a good husband doesn't mean they're a good husband. Just because someone says they're a Christian doesn't mean they're saved. Just because you think something concerning yourself does not make it so. Jesus begins that way, and he's saying, look, guys, I'm not here trying to toot my own horn, brag, and say who I am. I understand how that works. If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. But what does he say? It is my Father that honors me. Who is it that has appointed Jesus Christ as judge of all the earth? God the Father. Who is it that has given him a name above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father? Who is it that gave him that name? God the Father. Jesus is not self-promoting. Jesus is just stating facts. That God the Father is the one who has spoken from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. When God speaks from heaven concerning you, maybe we'll believe you. We should believe Jesus because God spoke from heaven, saying who he was. But notice what he says in verse 54. Of whom you say he is your God. This is we're getting very close to what we're going to spend most of our time on today. But notice what he says. He says, you say that my Father is your God. If you were to poll most Americans, they would tell you they believe in the God of the Bible. If you were to poll Muslims, they would tell you they believe in the God of the Bible. The Bible is a holy book to them. Talk to Jehovah's Witnesses. Talk to Mormons. Talk to Buddhists. Talk to Hare Krishnas. I was sharing the gospel to Hare Krishna the other day. And how I believe the Bible. We all worship the same God. They would tell you they worship the God of the Bible. The Jews that Jesus is talking to say they worship the God of the Bible. So let's just stop for a minute. If you say you worship the God of the Bible, and Muslims say they worship the God of the Bible, what makes you any different than a Muslim? You see, we don't think this way. We are blind to reality. What is the difference between you and a Hare Krishna? Well, the Hare Krishna is going to hell and I go to heaven. Why? Because you believe in God? They believe, according to them, in the God of the Bible. Go ask one. Go read about the Hindus. Go read Gandhi. Gandhi loved the God of the Bible. So he said. What makes you any different than them? Let's keep reading. He said, yet you have not known him. These are people who say that the God of the Bible is their God, but they don't know him. They don't have a clue as to who he really is. You know how we know this? Because they're looking at him and don't recognize him. Okay, it's like me walking up to somebody and say, hey, have you ever met Daniel Kendall? Oh, yeah, he's my best friend. Who are you? You obviously don't know me. Oh, we love God. We love God. We just hate you. Oh, yeah, well, but I just kind of happen to be God. These are people who say they worship God. They just don't know anything about him. They don't know him. They don't recognize him. They don't listen to him. They don't follow him. They don't do anything. They hate him, but supposedly they love him. Which, by the way, this is we're going to get to this at the end of the message. Okay, most people who claim to be Christians, their whole life is completely illogical and cannot stand up to the slightest bit of examination. They don't want questions. That's why they like easy preaching. They don't want someone to ask hard questions because they don't have an answer for it, because their faith is built on imagination. is not built on truth. Notice what he says. I know him. Who do you think knows God the best? Maybe God. You know what? Some people may say, you don't like this. No, actually, I know me and I know what I like. I know me better than anyone but God. God knows me better than I know me. You know who knows God better than anyone? God. And he says, if I should say I know him not, I'll be a liar like to you, but I know him and keep his saying. How do we know that Jesus knows God? Look at the way he lives his life. He obeys him. You'd almost think that Jesus said elsewhere, why do you call me Lord and don't do the things I tell you to do? How can you claim to be a Christian and reject the teachings of Jesus Christ? It doesn't make sense. And I've said this so many times, but maybe one time it'll click with some of you. How can you be a believer who doesn't believe? How can you be a follower who doesn't follow? You can't. And that's what Jesus is saying. In verse 56, he says this, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. This is what he says. He says, when Abraham saw me, he was happy to see me. Why? Because these people who claim we're the children of Abraham, they see Jesus and they hate him. Jesus says, wait a minute. There's a problem here. You say you're children of Abraham. I didn't get this type of meeting when I met Abraham. Abraham was happy to see me. Now, there's a little problem here. And the Jews pick up on this. Abraham's been dead for 1,500 years. Okay, you think about how long our country's been around. Multiply that times 5 and you're not even close. Okay, he's been dead for over 1,500 years. And Jesus is about 31. Do you see a problem here? When I met Abraham, he was happy to see me. When I met you, you weren't. What do they say? You're not even 50 years old, and you've met Abraham? Pretty common sense question. Jesus answers and says to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now that is horrible grammar, but it's proper theology. As we talked in Sunday school this morning, if you want to understand Scripture properly, then you need to look at what the original hearers heard. And guess what they heard? Verse 59, they took up stones to cast at him. They wanted him dead. You know why? Because Jesus said that he was the I am in the burning bush. And to them that was blasphemy. And they were going to stone him for blasphemy. Jesus declared that he was the I am that Wesley read about this morning. That's what Jesus is saying. When Moses asked, what's your name? God says, I am. I am. Tell them, I am. I sent you. And Jesus comes and says, oh yeah, by the way, you want to know who I am? I am. You want to know who I am? Who am I making myself out to be? He says, I am. They understand exactly what he is saying. Jesus is declaring himself to be the I am. If you look at the word in Hebrew, with the I am, the I am who I am. The idea there, the word I am, can be translated either I will be, I was, I am. And what it's essentially saying is that God is the eternal, always existence, always ever present, am, is, present. He is what he has always been. He will be what he always is. He will always be I am, and he always was I am. You go 10 trillion years in the past, and you will find he is the I am. You go 10 trillion years in the future, and you will find that he is God, and he changes not, and he is the I am. Whenever you put something after what the I am, you limit who you are. When I say I am Daniel, that means I'm not Bob. When I say I'm white, that means I'm not black. When I say I'm a man, that means I'm not a woman. If I say I'm 31, that means I'm not 32. And when God says I am, he's done. Because there is no limit to him. He's the eternal, infinite, always existing, ever-present, omniscient, omnipotent, completely, totally sovereign creator, sustainer, ruler of all that is, has always been, and will ever be. That is who God is, and that is who Jesus declares himself to be. When he says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day," you know what Jesus was talking about? Do you remember the story where Abraham's there and he looks out and he sees three men coming? And what happens when he sees the three men coming? Who do we find out to be? We find out to be God and two angels. And what does he do? He runs to them and begs them to stay at his house. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." And then if we have any doubt of who he's speaking to, God there says, "I will return. And according to the time of life, your wife will have a son." And then if we have any doubt, they begin to walk out and the two angels go down to Sodom and Gomorrah. And what does Abraham say to the man he's speaking to? He says, "Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" And he begs and pleads with God that he would not destroy the righteous with the wicked. And he starts with 50 and he works his all way down to 10. Jesus is saying, "I am that God. I am the judge of all the earth. And I will do right. And I will destroy the wicked. And I will spare the righteous. I am the creator of all that is. I am that I am." That is what Jesus is declaring. Now, Jesus now paints every single one of us in a corner. Because Jesus has now declared himself to be God. Not just some good person or a God, the way Mormons would have us believe. Jesus declares himself to be the one and only God that has ever been. Now that leaves us with two options. One, Jesus is God. Two, is not that Jesus is not God. It is that Jesus is a horrid, wicked, blaspheming liar that should be crucified for his blasphemy. That should be stoned. There is no other option. And this destroys the American dream of Jesus as this great prophet, this great moral teacher, this one who teaches us morality. No, you don't have that option. He's either God or a blaspheming liar. He is not a great teacher. Never claimed to be. He is not a great moralist. He's not a good morals teacher. You know, it's amazing to me how Hindus and Buddhists and atheists and people who claim to be Christians all revere Jesus. Again, go read Gandhi. Okay? Even Jews will tell you that Jesus was a great moral teacher. Go ask Muslims what they think about Jesus. They'll tell you he was a great prophet. There's just one problem. And that is what Jesus actually said. Jesus said he was the eternal God. The eternal one and only God. So, he's either God or he's a blaspheming liar. He can't be a good prophet. How many of you would consider someone to be a good man who told one of the most heinous, blasphemous, self-aggrandizing, arrogant lies the world has ever heard? How many of y'all would consider him a good man? How many of you have ever seen politicians have to drop out of a race for one little gaffe? Jesus says, "I'm the eternal God." That should be a nail in the coffin. That should sink his ship. He can't be a good moral teacher anymore. He's either God or a liar. Now what this means for you is that you have to make a choice. You either reject Jesus in his entirety as a liar, or you accept him in his entirety as the judge of all the earth. There is no gray with Jesus Christ. You're either for him or against him. This is what is so crazy about the atheist who wants to talk about Jesus as a good teacher. He can't be. But see, here's where people have a problem. Within them, there is something that just can't bring themselves to say that Jesus is a liar. But there is something within them that cannot bring themselves to say that Jesus is sovereign over every facet of my life, and I will say yes, sir, and obey. This is where atheists are right. Religion is the opiate of the masses. People want just enough of Jesus' moral teachings so they feel good and don't think that they're bad people on their way to hell. They just don't want all of his teachings, because then they'd have to change and they might feel bad and they might have conviction and they might know they're lost. So it's easier to revere a Jesus and not read what he says. Not read what he says about going to your neighbor, about forgiveness, about divorce. It's much easier to say, I love Jesus, and ignore what he says. Which, by the way, is not an option. Either Jesus is a liar, or Jesus is God. There is no middle ground. If he's God, you better do everything he says, or face his wrath. You don't get to pick and choose. He's God. Which, by the way, this is one of the most helpful passages for me as a Christian. And I just want to be completely honest with y'all. You can get upset, but I'm just going to tell you honesty. Being honest. There are things in the Bible that I don't like. That rub me the wrong way. There are things that I read and I go, God, you're crazy. There are things I read and I go, God, no, you didn't say that. But here's the truth. If I agreed with everything in the Bible on first reading, I would be God. And I would be perfect and I would be holy. But I am not. So when I read something that goes against me, I have to make a choice. Either God is wrong or I'm wrong. If God is wrong, by definition, he's no longer God. You do realize that if there is a God, he is an infinite, supreme being. This is where atheists, they need to study philosophy a little bit more. Because if there is a God, by definition, everything he does is right. You know why? Because he's God. Have you ever heard I don't believe in God because he lets bad things happen to good people. He lets there be wars and cancer and the Holocaust. Have you ever heard an atheist say that? By the way, that is a completely illogical argument. If there's a God, whatever he does is perfect. And if you don't like it, you're wrong, not him. This is a kind of a weak argument with this, but I remember hearing a preacher that met a man, one of the biggest, meanest men he'd ever met, huge mountain of a man. They got saved. And so the preacher was over at his house. This guy was known for a temper and beating the snot out of people. And he said, Preacher, I've been reading the book of Colossians. And the preacher said, I didn't correct him. If he wanted to call it Colossians, as far as I was concerned, he was right. Because he was bigger than me. Now, we know that's silly, but if God says it, he's right. So when I read things that rub me the wrong way, you know what I have to do? I have to go back to John 8 and say, is Jesus God? If he's God, that means he knows more than me. He created me. He created everything. He created family. He created church. He created my body. And he knows more than I do. He knows stuff I do not know. He knows how this world was created. And he is God. And whether I like it or not, if I disobey him, I will face his wrath. So I will do what God says. It's that simple. I am not the person I was 15 years ago. Praise God. I'm not. But if you were to go back 15 years ago and begin telling me all the things that I would believe, I would tell you you're nuts. But you know the way it worked? You can ask my wife. I'll come home and I'll say, you know, I've been studying this and I think we got to change this in our family. Why, because we weren't happy? No, we were very happy. We were just wrong. And, you know, there's things that God says that, you know, like, for example, predestination. I didn't like that.
And I argued against it. I'd get in arguments with people about it. But how it was wrong. But then I just couldn't get around to the fact that God said it. And God's not wrong. So do I believe in predestination? Absolutely. Why? Because God said so. I'm not called to create rules or traditions. I am not called even to understand them. I am called to obey them because I am not God. Jesus asked me to do hard things. He is God. I say yes, sir, and I obey. That is it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, what does it say? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You know what that means? In everything you do, you look to him because he's God, and you're not, and you do what he tells you to do. It's that simple. You don't like it. Tough. I mean, you go before the judge and cuss him out. See what happens. You're not the judge. Sorry, buddy. Go before God and tell him he's wrong. When you said this, you were wrong. See how long you last. You won't even get the thought in your mind, much less out of your mouth. He is God, whether you like it or not. And for me as a Christian, this makes things so much easier. You know why? I am not called to be original. I am not called to be a deep man of deep intellect and understanding. I am called to be faithful to obey what God told me to do. And that is it. And what God told me to do, I don't have to sit there and stick my finger out and look for signs and discern the spirits. I just read it because he wrote it down for me. That's it. So for me, the Christian life always goes back to, is he God? Yes or no? Is he God? Yes or no? Is he God? Yes or no? Be fruitful and multiply. I don't want to. I'm God. You have to. Yes, sir. Hey, you know what? God's pretty smart. These kids are pretty fun. That's the way my life has been. And by God's grace, that's the way it will always be. I was talking with the men in the men's prayer group Wednesday night. So guys, we need to read this passage of scripture. We're not doing this right. And to be honest with you, I told them it rubs my flesh the wrong way, but my spirit says it's right. You know what all the men said? Well, God says it, we have to do it. Why? Because he's God, you're not. For the Christian life, it's that easy. It's that simple. Is Jesus God? If he is, then you need to repent. That means you need to change everything about your life to conform to him. You don't get the option of, Jesus is God, I live how I want to. No, if Jesus is God, you do what he says. If you don't do what he says, you don't believe he's God. That's really the crux of the matter. There is no way out of it. If Jesus is God, you do what he says. If he's not, why would you even want to claim Jesus as a good person, someone you look up to? Why would you want to go to church? Why would you want to even claim to be a Christian? You know, have you ever met, I remember meeting someone one time, and I knew a relative of theirs who was not an upstanding person of character, let's put it that way. And I met him one time, I was like, oh, you got that, are you related to so-and-so? They went, no. They were. But they wanted nothing to do with him because of the way he lived his life. Why would you want to be called a Christian if Jesus is a liar? Why? Why would you want to associate yourself with a blasphemer? Why would you want to even say, well, Jesus says, why do you care if he's a liar? You see, Jesus is either God or a liar. You either devote your entire life to him and change everything to do what he says, or you reject him completely. There is no middle ground. And by the way, that's what Jesus taught too about heaven and hell. There is no little purgatory in between where you might make it in later. You're either for him or against him. It's black and white. Either Jesus is who he is, or he's a liar. So what I invite you to do, I invite you to change everything about your life and follow Jesus Christ, who is God. He has always been and he will always be the great I am. And what you need to do is you need to repent. That means change. Change everything.
Jesus doesn't just get your church service on Sunday morning. He gets what you wear, what you eat, how you worship. He gets your marriage, how that looks, children, all of it. Don't believe me? Go read the book of Leviticus if you don't think God cares. God cares about every facet of your life. You know why? Because He's God. He created you and He owns you. You either submit to Him and be part of the kingdom or you're a rebel. There is no middle ground. You either submitted to Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord, or you are a rebel who will face His wrath. And that's why I invite you to change. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and publicly declare Him as your Savior and Lord through baptism. Seek Him while He may be found. Change. Repent. Receive the forgiveness of sins. The one who keeps Jesus saying will never see death. Why is Jesus saying this? For the glory of God and your good. Jesus could be silent, but that would not be for the glory of God, and it would not be for your good. I could have slept in this morning. It's a lot warmer in my bed. Why am I saying this? For God's glory and your good. Is Jesus God? If He is, then you need to change everything and be His commands. If He's not, then burn your Bible, quit calling yourself a Christian, and reject everything He ever said. I can't do that! If you do not accept Him as God, you do not accept Him at all. If Jesus is not Lord, He is not Savior. If Jesus lies about one thing, He lies about everything. Jesus is God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved.